So, I guess in my mind, the tachlis of something like this is also to help get a personal sense of yontif. For me, these things were very, very meaningful when I was in, in yeshiva, and now even today, there's, especially when you're dealing with a tzibur, that you're trying to infuse them and inspire them with their yontif, and you're reaching out where they're holding. There's also a sense to sort of try to attach yourself to something, and or else you feel kind of at some point you begin to feel. You're kind of drying up or drying out or something like that. So I guess the tachlis was to pick an Indian that is a little less accessible, something that help us at least get a sense of a depth of yontif. It's one of the things that always bothered me, that in learning we assume that we're ahead when we're 25, we're doing much better than we're 15. In terms of Musa, we always seem to be treading the same waters. Bal Karva, there's a certain Oimek and Torah that goes beyond it. And for me personally, it was very important to connect to it. And, I have different Sfarim that, for me, are very fulfilling in these Inyanim. I picked an Inyan that I think would work well for us. And it's from the Sefer of Afikim Mayim. I've had a close relationship with Ramesh Shapiro from 1980. His inyanim have a lot of oimik to them, and yet they're accessible. He doesn't overdo it with vocabulary and so on. So they're accessible, but you need to get a feel for it. The inyan I picked was Yud Aleph in a Sefer Afikim Mayim. There's actually two inyanim Yud Aleph. I think the second is just a page of addition to it. I took the first piece, and I'm going to skim some of it and spend more time on some of the other. He starts out with the Ran. The Ran says Rosh Hashanah kol bo'er olam oyvim v'nei morim, and the Ran asks what's special about Rosh Hashanah. If you think about it in terms of the calendar, Yom Kippur is the Yom of Kippur and Slicha. Moshe Rabbeinu came down the second Sefer Torah with the second Luchos, and we knew we were in Iskaper. So Yom Kippur being that day is very clear. Rosh Hashanah really is not clear what in terms of tshuva, where does that come in, or even Yom Adin, why is it Nidon more than the other day? The Ran's question is, if you hold B'nis Nivroilam, why would it be on Rosh Hashanah? The Ran answers something along the lines, and he quotes him over here, ve'efsha'oid, that there was a special ritzui, ve'efsha'oid shema sheshana v'yom kippur hischel Hashem l'sratzis l'moyshe v'yom ha'kippurim l'sratzis l'gamri v'lefikr ratzak ha'shbrocho lodin b'yoyse b'zman shuka kapara. So Ran says there was a tchilas ritzui, there was some element of ritzui in Rosh Hashanah, and The Ran says that there is an element of Ritzui that's miyuchid to Rosh Hashanah. So he's going to try to explain what is the Inyan. In other words, there's a Yom Kippur type of Ritzui, and then there's also a Rosh Hashanah type of Ritzui. Second page, Amud Ayin Vav, if you have the printout. V'yesh lahaktim bazeh. He brings a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. It says Bilam was Yodea Das Elyon. It means Yodea Lechavin Oiseh Shosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Koyespa. That Bilam knew to be Mechavin the moment in the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Koyes. And it says in the Gemara over there, Ruhu Kametzitka Sassisi Mochem Shalai Ka'aste Lechem Kol Oiseh Nayami. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I especially was monea myself from being koes all those days, because if I would have been koes, there would have been nothing left to call Yisrael. The kama za'amo. So the Gemara asks, how long does HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger last? Rega. What does it mean? What are we talking about? What does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a kviyas to get angry a minute a day, and that's what Bilam had in Mechavi. So he's going to explain. This is a very Yesodistic Havana that he, Rav Moshe, is giving us. So Rashi says the Tchilas Machshava was to create Midas Hadin. He saw that the world won't be Miskayim, so he was Meshat to Midas Harachim. Vehine, he says, Vade Eina Pirus Shahoisa Charota Be'ika Ritzoyna Elyon Ben Hagis Abriya. We don't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shinui as being a Charota. Ela Biyuhu De'at Kama She'efshe L'Oilom L'Skayim Adi Midas Hadin Mechayif Shitov Midas Harachim Ba'do V'Shulkiyim O'Oilom. So let's explain what it means. I'll give you a mashal. Let's give a mashal. A person designs a building. An engineer, an architect designs a building. We build one building like that, and that building collapses. So we know that we need to add support in one of the spots where we felt the collapse happened. So every time we build a building, we add a support to that particular point. So when an architect or the engineer is describing to his class or whoever's listening to a seminar of his on what he's done, he describes it as following. This is the building. This piece that you see extending from here is to take care of the collapsing problem, because the building weight structure won't hold its weight. But this is extraneous, and it's there for a utilitarian purpose. It's not the atzmius of it. But the Akash Baruch Hu rots the tchila. Akash Baruch Hu was bayir the olam, the midas hadin. All of machshav the livus midas hadin means that pure chachma is mechayev a world of midas hadin. That's be'emes the metzias that the world should be. The mitzad, the world, that is an impossible metzias, and it needs to be associated with midas harachmim. But the association with midas harachmim is there due to the weakness in the world, rather than part and parcel of the tachas of the world. The tachas of the world would be realized if and when the midas hadin would be shalit, and therefore this would be added to it. He says, "Avul ilu yitzuya." The last line of that paragraph: "Kiyam o'olim midas hadin levad." Had the world been able to exist with midas hadin, oz ha'isa shalit espel midas hadin koshal tzayim tchila. So that means the world itself, should have stood bidin, should have meaning in realizing its mitzias, it should have stood on din. It has an association with rachmim in order to enable the bria to stand. Next paragraph. V'zeu inyan azam shakadosh baruch hu koyes rak rega. In other words, the kas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is koyes every day for rega. The world could have been miskayim b'midas hadin. In other words, lochein shope yitochen hagas midas hadin ba'olam. V'rak the yosem yirega lo yitochen. The hemshach kiyum olam hemshach mizrachim. So in other words, there is a nekuda that's possible to have midas hadin. Midas Adin is actually the very core of the world. So there has to be a nekuda that's called a rega in time. And in other words, it's the flattest instant. And then for Kiyum HaOlam, that remains standing, that it continue to exist, it needs the Shituv. So since that's the emes of the world, if this is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the world means, that this is the atzmis of the world, it's a makom of din with a boost from rachmim. So every single day the world has a nekuda of pure din. which is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called, is Koes on the world. And then there's the Midas HaRachmim. I want to add, and Knetsch doesn't quite say it, but I think it's inherent in it. Whenever we approach another person in terms of Midos, Kas is an expression of the other person not fulfilling the goal that I had set for him. So if I ask you to bring me X, to do Y, and you don't do it, so when I get angry, it means, well, this is what you were sent for. You're my worker, you're my employee, you're my son, you're my town, whatever it is in the relationship that I have the right and ability to impose on you. So Kas means mitzad, the tachlis that I sent you, imposed on you, you failed. When you have rachmanis on the person, you say to yourself, yeah, but you know, it's very hard for him, he's overworked, he's overloaded, he's got other things on his mind, he's not feeling well, and so on and so forth. So mitzad, the standard or the goal that I had set, Kas is a reaction to its non-fulfillment, and the rachamim takes into account the other person, his needs, his shortcomings, and so on. For an instant, the world can stand midas hadin. It can't go for longer. In as much as it's possible for the world to exist without Midas HaRachmim, it doesn't have it. Because Midas HaRachmim's place in this world is only for the purpose of helping being Mamshech Kiyum Olam. So anytime we don't need it, Shapichal Midas Adin Be'olam B'Toikva. The Kan Munach, this is where Bilam could have touched on that and could have created a Churban, because if you're able to touch that button, then you destroyed everything. Let's just give a mashal, just translate it into something we can sort of get a better handle on. Imagine somebody has a Talmud who's difficult, or a congregant, since we speak to Rabbanim, who's difficult. What determines whether you'll continue patching with him or not? So obviously patience has a lot to do with it, but more than that, as long as you believe there's potential to realize what you expect of the person, then you'll continue, because, you know, listen, I know there's going to be a long road, but he's going to become XYZ. If I tell you, I'm a big chacham, and I understand people, and I have tons of experience in Rabbanis. But I tell you, let me tell you something. This person fits a certain mold. He will never be anything more than trouble. Forget it. He's not going to live up to what it is that you minimally expect of him. You'll get rid of him, you know, if you can. It's the pshat. When you touch on Midas HaDin, and you say Klal Yisrael will never be good, no matter how much infusion of rachm you'll do, that means that Klal Yisrael is inherently chas v'shalom worthless. There's nothing to it. It's not the pshat you're working with someone difficult. Difficult is when it's difficult in terms of the externals. When the road is difficult, but when the atzmius is not existent, there's no point to it. So if he would have touched that, this is the nekud of atzmius when it has to justify itself. The union betaisis, next paragraph. Shehiksha taisis in taima maya chol bilam leim of shamatis kazois. What could have he said? Veshleima hoyoime kalim. Vakarish proko hofre vama melech. In other words, he could have said kalim, and Akarish proko made melech out of kalim. What's the pshat now? Umefurish kan. Shakiyum that the klol of the bracha is, you could have said kalim, it became melech, ukidichsiv, as it says, the Gemara says, ukidichsiv, utruas melech boy. Since it says utruas melech boy, taking kalim and turning it to melech creates that truas melech. V'tzorich yun mao toichen inyem melech. Shai deizem is hapech mikilas klaya. What is it? What's the game of Talim becoming melech? In other words, the tikkun for Talim becoming melech. And he says, and really, he says, the be'emes, this pasuk belongs to Rosh Hashanah. Kirchsiv lo hibit ovim b'yakob le'ro amul b'yisrael. Hashem alakov imoy utshuas melech bayi. The Targum says Shchinas Malka b'nehem, which makes sense. It's like Chiba and so on. Targum Yonason says V'yevavus Malka Meshicha Miyava b'nehem. Truas Melech means there is something there of a tikkia. There's a trua there of Malchus, and that's, in other words, there's an inyan of Shefa that is Shayach to Klal Yisrael. So we do see in the Targum there's a kesha, but it only makes it much harder to understand. So it's telling us the possibility of total annihilation is kalim, the skula the way of reversing kalim is turning kalim into melech, and the place where we see this skula of malchias is in Rosh Hashanah, where you have truas melech, where you have some inyan, some the element of shayfa and so on. The next paragraph, Amud Ayin Zayin, if you have in front of you. V'inyan b'zeh nireh, dehinin izbaya bo'erech, de'av shebedalet prak mo'elam nidoyim. If you take a look in the Mishnah, the Lashon is different. It says bedalet prak mo'elam nidoyim, it says in the Chag, in Yidan Mayim, in that Seres, the Yidan Peris, and Pesach did down Tavu and so on. On Rosh Hashanah it says Kol Boy Olam Oivim Lefanav. It doesn't say there's any din. It says Kol Boy Olam Lefanav. So it says Mikol Mokoyim Shaini Din Rosh Hashanah She'ena Ma'isa Shal Din Al HaTavu VaPesach Lashpi'alav. In other words, the other ones are a din in relations to something. Chalal Yisrael, how much water do they deserve? How much Peris? How much tvua? We're talking about an adjustment of a certain quantity. And Be'etzim, because the question really is, what does it mean when we're dunning, you know, three times a year we need on mayim, on tvua, and on peiris? That's basically everything. What does it mean once we need on kol bo'elam oivim lefanav? He says it's a very different type of din. Mikol makom shayni din Rosh Hashanah she'ena ma'isa shol din al tevua u'peiris eich lashpi'alav. Ela she'oz nikva etzem mitzi'usha shol adam im shayich lanhoga shol chayim ha'tzol shol ma'isa. There are two... Din comes in two layers. One is measured in quantity, how much, how strong, how good, and so on. One is existence or non-existence. We always wonder, you know, the ultimate einish is total karis. And in our minds, we always think that's a cheat. We'd like somebody to suffer, be tortured forever, and so on and so forth. But the real of us mitzad, the atzmias of something, non-existence, is a din on the atzmias. This is something that has no mitzias. Not better, not worse, not different, it just is not deserving of existence. Ela she'oz nikva etzem mitzius shel adam im shaykh lan hoga shel chayim shel shemes. And here when we're talking about chayim and mothers, we're talking about existence versus non-existence. Valderach tisa b'gemar, it says, Omar lach ha'sharas, it says, why don't they say shir lefonai? And it says that sifri chayim and meisim p'tuchu lefonav. And he says over the word chayim, sifri chayim meisim, as opposed to melech yishmach kisidin, is emphasizing the fact that it's a question on existence versus non-existence. At the end of the paragraph, of the same paragraph, hinei habriya mischadeshes rosh hashanah kishas briya soilam. On Rosh Hashanah, the world comes into being again. It's not a given world, and we're being dazzled, but rather it's being nidon, you know, niver yibare or lo yibare. Ukemoy de oz lahoisa shumitzias mikarem abriya. Just like part of briya sa'olam means. There was an ayin before. It's a yesh me'ayin. It's not the pshat, something was there and we needed to decide what to do with it and so on, and if to continue it and how to continue it. There was nothingness, and there had to be a decision to make somethingness. Hachinami b'chol shana b'shana mischadesh es metzias ha'olam. The world's metzias, it has to be renewed every year. Vadinhu im ruin libaris meikara. The shaila is there a makom to create? The enkan kviyas din b'alvad al the etzem adinu chinish abriyah. So the pshat is this: the din over here is existence versus non-existence. It's what they call in politics zero-based budgeting. In other words, the normal mahalach of a budget is you take what was there last year and you decide you want more marketing, less marketing, more research and development, less research and development, and so on. There's another way to do a budget. To say, okay, we're starting with the hanacha that we don't need anything. We need each division to prove itself and to explain why we should engage in selling X and selling Y and selling Z. It's a very, very different type of din. One is within a certain context, one is the context itself. Do we need this or not? Me'ata, kishemagia Rosh Hashanah, hine mitzad mitzios hakodemish Hashanah avra, be'emes nimich yusuf. We're given chiyus for a year, and when Rosh Hashanah comes around, it's not we're living and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is deciding whether we should continue living, whether we should die, chasom, whatever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to decide to endow us with life. Veleke hemshach shel chayim bo, because betzem, even the double word sifrei chayim umesim, we're living. Anybody who's davening Rosh Hashanah tends to be alive. It should be sifrei umesim apotuach. Rosh Hashanah is making a decision to kill or not to kill. The answer is no. He's making a decision to give life or not to give life. That's the real. Beina oid bria kviyas mitzias v'chol bo oylam tzirch liskeis lias bichlala mitzias Rosh Hashanah. You need to be in the kalam mitzvahs. I want to stop a second and talk about this in a broader context than just Rosh Hashanah, because there's a very important point here. Let's say a person has been working for somebody. Somebody's an accountant in my firm, and I pay him a salary, and the person is not happy with the salary. So it comes with a taina. He says, I spend this and this much time, and people of my caliber are getting X, and I had to do particularly difficult books, and so on and so forth, and I tie it back, but this, but that, the other thing. There's a maso matin with two baladvar, within the context of our association. He has a taina, I have a taina. It could be my taina is 100% right, he's 0% right, but he has a taina. Even a 0% taina is a taina. Let's say somebody comes to me and he says, I would like to be employed as an accountant in your firm. And I tell him no. So the person gives me an argument. What do you mean give me an argument? You don't have a schus to be employed in my firm. If you work for me, you have a schus for compensation, and then there's a makom to be done on our compensation. What does it mean you have a schus for it? It's one of the great mistakes in Emunah for Freya people. I heard a woman, a mother of a neighbor of ours, somebody very close to, was Nifteris, and she was in her late 60s, wonderful woman. I guess I don't know if the word is sudden. But she was nifteris, and she had issues, health issues, and she was nifteris. She has two sons. One is from a bentayer, one is fry. The family is a fryer family, but one son became a bentayer. They were both maspid, and the hespedim couldn't have been more different. The son of a bentayer said, "We can't." With all the tsar we have, we can't forget the wonderful 67 years we had with our mother, and how grateful we are that we had such a wonderful person in our lives. And she had been 10 years ago, she had had a stroke and she recovered, and he said, well, 10 years are just a pure gift, and so on and so forth. The other brother says, said, I can't, this is a shake in my faith, how could God do this, and it's senseless, and so on and so forth. The attitude is, I deserve to live because I deserve to live. And it's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to prove why he's taking my life. It's not like that. Why did you deserve to exist, to be born, to have life, to have anything? Nobody did anything to make himself. Even if we can delude ourselves saying what we did in our lives is so wonderful that HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply needs us around. But certainly that argument doesn't extend to existence. And that's something, the yesod of our emunah is, we don't exist on a personal level. We exist because, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon, before we can prove ourselves, before we can prove anything. I once saw a very cute sort of vart, and there was two friends, both chassidim, and one went to learn in Chabad, the old, we're talking about the old Chabad. And after he comes back, he says, what did you learn that you felt was unique over there that you didn't pick up by us? So he said, I'll give you a riddle. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to utterly, utterly destroy the world, how would he do it? So he said, well, he would bring a marble. He says, no, the sludge left over. He says, okay, he would burn it to a crisp. He says, no, when you burn something, there's ashes left over. So he said, I give up. What would he do? So he said, he simply would not want the world. You don't need to do something to destroy the world. When your attitude is you need to do something to destroy the world, your attitude is the world has a metzias, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu needs to do something. Our understanding is, for the Bria to exist, it needs a Ratzon Hashem. And this is the Yisoy that he's talking about. U'me'atok, sh'magir Rosh Hashanah, hine mitzav metzias ha'kodemes sh'mishana sh'avra be'emes nimer ch'yusa. V'leka hemshach shol chayim ba'olam mikoyach ch'yusa sh'lefnei kein. There is no hemshach. U'be'inan oid Bria k'vias metzias, you need a new Bria. V'chol boi oilam tzrichon liskos liyas v'chol metzias sh'nzchas b'Rosh Hashanah. The omna yesoida dava is despite saying about Erech, he explained for Shaschia bedin is only to Rachmin being Meshatif, like in the original Metzias. The Hainu says Oitzem Achibul Etzayus Baruch Al Yeshuach Rakhes Rachmin. Vim Kain Avshem Etzad Seda and Hogan is Steimachias Oila, the Koi Bematzav Shokolin. So even now that we've reached this point, this nadir of zero. In other words, the midas harachamim that's mitzuriv to the din is the emes you want it to happen. Let's give an example. Imagine I take an entrance exam to a very prestigious school. I fail. The person who is giving me the exam is not open to any suggestions whatsoever of Rachman. I'm sorry, we take only the best, the elite. You failed, my son. Go. If, let's say, a father is tutoring his kid to get into that place, he will teach him and give him very rough exams and so on. But at the end of the day, he's always going to give him a second chance because his real Ratzin, the Ratzin that's behind the Midas Adin, is a Ratzin of Rachman. And that's what the child is tapping into. So if my father practiced with me and I failed one test, he's going to, you know, he might chastise me. But then, but Dad, you really do want me to go to this school. So let's do it a second time. So the way to tap in is the midas rachman zot adin. V'hine hakoyach lisyachis lemekoyre rotzen hu rak nesh Hashem alakav imo etruas malach boi. In other words, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us, and this, most specifically, he wants us because we express Malchus. In other words, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to realize the Ratzon HaBriah, the Pnimiyus of the Ratzon HaBriah, it's going to be by the it's going to be through the means of Malchus, of Klal Yisrael expressing that Malchus. So what we're tapping into is saying, being that we are the Am that you're being Melech on, we want Chiyus Mikoyach that. V'yesh b'zahara aflo, and it adds a beautiful hara to it. It says, "Dehine kol zman shemedamot chiyas ha-meisim, hine ha-toyar al-ha-oris midesuhu ein doimelai." When we talk about Kadosh Baruch Hu chiyas ha-meisim, we use the term ein doimelai. U'kiraminu b'tfilo u'mi doimelach ha-melech meimus ha-mechaya. V'chein b'yoytze de-shabes ha-minun v'ein doimelach ha-mecheinus chiyas ha-meisim. So the chiyas ha-meisim is something that's ein doimelai because there is nothing. Tchias Misa to us is past the circle that describes existence. We believe somewhere that Mesim are alive, but as far as a physical person is concerned, a wounded person is still living, a mortally wounded person is still living, a crippled person is still living, but once you die, you're outside that circle. And there's no dimyan in this world of something going from non-existence to existence. We have examples of things getting healed, weak people winning over strong people. We have a lot of examples of things happening, not of something that is dead coming alive. So he says that's why Hashem says doy melachay. There's ein karkecha. We say, yes, there's nothing like HaKadosh Baruch Hu quite. There's nothing that is as great as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that does it all. But when we say Ein Doimim means, this is a Hanhag of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that doesn't have a counterpart. It's interesting, I don't want to be Mayach, the Gemara in Sanhedrin that he brings here, the Gemara actually says, Seiv Avich Dugma, I'll show you an example of something that can be, that you can have chiyas ha-meisim. It says erlecha dugma b'olam hazeh. I don't want to go off that, but he says, but over here, there's one other place we use that nusach. Achish oit makan rabin hay nuscha. Ubebirkas shayfris de mesaymi bo ki ato shemeya kol shayfa mazeh trua ve'ein doimelecha. In other words, Shefa belongs to the place of Ein Doma, because Shefa is a kvius of nuchius. Some sfarim it says it's like the neficha that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is menapeach into Adam. In other words, Shefa has that Ein Doma because it's a form of chias amesim. Vehine says erzot chias amesim mekoyach rachmi kramina mechay amesim rachmi rabin. The Shefa brings down a metzias of chayim that's a me'en of tchias ha-meisim. Mali, if a person died and his lifetime can end, mali if we die every year because our year came to an end, it's the same thing. In other words, chiddush of the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the avoid of the yom. Let's talk a little bit about this and just the point that he's doing over here. As opposed to Yom Kippur, which is a zman of being metaken, different problems. So there's a famous vart from the Brisker Rav had a son. His name was Chaim, who was a brilliant person, but. I don't know what the right word to use was. He was strange. He never got married, and he his brilliance expressed itself in all sorts of very fascinating Vartlach and Chumash, but it was a character of sorts. And he once said, it says by the Yishish Shunamis, when she came with the dead child, Elisha, and he was Mechaya him, it says, Vatisa'el, she carried him back. So yes, I mean, it's mashma that the son was older and he wasn't a baby. So it says he was in the field together with the father. So why did she have to carry him back once he came alive? So he said, it says he became sick and then he died. He said that Chias HaMeisim worked on the dying, but then he was a sick boy again and he had to be carried. That was his word. What's the gear to hear? It means the Yom Kippur, we still need a tikkun on the guf. Even though it's living, it still has in itself the problems. And that's avodah of Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah is a very different avodah. And that's why even though it's a seres mitzvah, and even though it's part of that kapara, like the Ran says, it's part of his mana kapara, but really, it's the avodah that's needed on Rosh Hashanah is the type of avodah of justifying our existence. In other words, who are we and what are we? Malchius and Zichronis and the Gemara says Shefris is a way to express both of them. Our Malchus and Zichronis are both the kvius mohus of a person, that my Metzias is there as an expression for our Kadosh Baruch Hu's desire to be misgal in the world. We don't have another Metzias that we have that we can possibly call on to be. The kolim, the word kolim is interesting. The word kolim comes from kol. It means the totality of it. It's not the pshat that I found a problem with X, Y, or Z, but it's rather there's no makom for its Metzias. That's what he means, that by saying the word kolim, when I need to find fault, I need to enumerate. So if I think, if somebody comes along and I want to hire him as an accountant, and my HR person says, you know, he has days when he slaps off, he has days when he doesn't work well with other people, that requires time to enumerate. Not only because the words are long, it means it's a hisparitus of things. If a guy tells me he ain't an accountant, then that doesn't require any time. The pshat is, there's no metzias there. It's me'ikra lesser. The Adam is being nidon Rosh Hashanah on a much, on the deepest strata of his person. Is he somebody who is deserving of being? The only way that's possible is if the person is an expression of Kadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. In Din, nobody deserves to exist because existence precedes our deserving. We don't have. So Midas HaDin could judge us possibly on what we did, but it can't judge us on every Metzias. So it's a Yom HaDin for the Metzias of every Nivra, Adam being the center of the world, being the world we talk about in front of everything is around Adam. Adam is the very center of that Metzias. The other Nivroim are simply there as an extension of our being. There's no mocker from Metzias or anything else. The Rosh Hashanah is that Yom HaDin, and that's why there's a total shulton of Midas HaDin. The only way we have a mockum of existence is if we draw on the original Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted a place to express himself. That's called Malchus, and the way in which Malchus, the accountability of Malchus is the Zichronis. It's not that it's the Yom HaDin, meaning that we recognize that we're totally accountable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That gives us a Metzias. So I guess if we can sum up, he goes back to answer up that's the particular Rosh Hashanah point. But just to sort of sum the Magum here, when we talk about Chaim and Mavis, we're talking about a much deeper than just something within a context. We're talking about existence and non-existence. Rosh Hashanah is the day when man came into existence, and first and foremost, he has to justify existing. Maisim don't justify existence. Mohus justifies existence. It's not how well you performed. Are you an accountant or not? Are you somebody that stolz zu. Are you working for the company or not? That's the yomer din adam. It's the mahalach of stolz zu in a meaningful way is malchus. The hifuch of kolim, kolim means the recognition that the etzim, the world has no inherent metzias as within itself. And melech is the recognition that our whole metzias is there as a shliach of the melech. We're there as a vehicle for fulfilling the melech. Malchus is the fulfillment of the melech's dream to be a melech. That's the Yom HaDin of Rosh Hashanah in its essence, and that's where our avodah comes in as someone fulfilling that. We have to answer Kadosh Baruch Hu that we justify our mahus because the certain kabbalas olmach shemayim, the certain accepting of who we are, what we are, and what we need to be dedicated to. Any questions? That's where he explains it. I didn't see in his.